On a Monday, you're with us for the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Coming up after 7:30, we'll hear about an appeal from Wisconsin caregiving agencies, and they're asking the state's Joint Finance Committee to boost the Medicaid personal care rate to address a severe staffing shortage. But first, we're talking about this investigation at the UW-Oshkosh involving racist, homophobic, and anti-Semitic images on social media that involved students. The Oshkosh Northwestern reported that the images that circulated on Twitter last week showed a whiteboard with the message, "No liberals, Jews, Muslims, queers, or Hmongs." Another image showed a room with a banner that appeared to have a hand-painted swastika on it. Oshkosh residents and students, there's a line for you during this conversation, 800-642-1234. What do you want the chancellor to know as to how you're feeling about this? What would you suggest the university do moving forward? UW-Oshkosh Chancellor Andrew Levitt is here to tell us about the community meeting and the investigation into these images. Chancellor Levitt, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate.
So what do you know right now about this incident and what is being investigated?
Well, sometime last Thursday evening, there were images that were posted on social media that depicted what you had described previous to that. It was at a private residence within the city of Oshkosh where we had renters. The renters were UWO students that lived there, and then there were apparently some kind of a party that was going on at the time. Those images very quickly circulated, and then we as a university first detected the presence of those images shortly after midnight, where I was alerted and others were alerted. We worked with a few administrators in the middle of the night in order to sort of ramp up what we wanted to do the next day. We met at 8 o'clock in the morning. As a group, we had a statement out shortly after 9 o'clock to the entire campus about this, certainly condemning the images themselves. And then we arranged to have an open forum, which occurred at 1 p.m. To allow to give information to students, but also at the same time allow them an opportunity to use their voice. What we know at this point is that we are investigating all the aspects of this through our Dean of Students Office, which is the Student Code of Conduct process, as well as the UW-Oshkosh Police Department. We need to determine if, in fact, there were policies and or laws that were broken that would lead to some kind of sanction. So we are in the process of that investigation.
How long might this investigation take?
It's about interviewing witnesses and people who were there. And so normally we have a rather elaborate code of conduct process that you have to go through, which allows individuals to have hearings as a part of the investigation. So we believe it could take up to a few weeks.
You hosted this community forum then on Friday afternoon. What did you hear from those who spoke out?
Well, there are many things that we heard. One, of course, certainly a condemnation and a concern for the content of these images. No question about that. There were expressions, particularly among those from marginalized backgrounds, students of diversity, of their concern for their personal safety on campus. And this is not the first time these things happen. This has happened on this campus or quite frankly, any other university campus. It quite frankly, it's heartbreaking to hear stories from students of diversity, students of color, LGBTQ, of where they don't feel safe in an environment which they're supposed to learn. And so it's important to give them a voice. We certainly have heard them in the past. And, the students are certainly expressing a certain level of frustration of what they perceive to be inaction by the university. And so it was an opportunity for us to enumerate some of the things that we've done just recent weeks and months, in addition to what we hope to do in the future.
Hundreds of students turned out at this forum. What did you make of the crowd and what the sentiment was like?
Well, I thought it was terrific that so many students came and so quickly and really no notice. And that really, I think, is a very positive sign that the campus does vehemently reject the expressions of hate and bigotry. No question, it was a difficult hour and 15, hour and 20 minutes as students were able to get up and express their own frustrations, why this keeps happening, and what can we do about it.
We're talking with Andrew Levitt. He is chancellor of the UW Oshkosh, talking about social media posts that surfaced last week that show photos of racist and homophobic messages and hateful symbols that officials believe involve students. And there's a line for you on this conversation at 800-642-1234. Students and community members, did you attend the community forum Friday? What did you share about your experience at the university? And how is the work that you're doing at the university helping to build a climate of inclusivity? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Chancellor Levitt, this isn't the first time, as you alluded, that your university has dealt with images on social media. There was, in March, a Snapchat image that surfaced involving two men running for student body leadership positions. It also said, UWO, vote for these guys today unless you want a lesbian or a Hmong to win. Can you talk about how the university has reacted in recent months to this kind of discrimination?
Well, the one thing you need to realize is, first of all, we can't control what people put on social media. It's a platform with a very low bar for people to post hateful messages. There's no question about that. So in individuals, in this case, they were associated with the university, but sometimes they're not, can do something like this that really touches off this kind of event. The way that we have to fight this, quite frankly, is through communication, conversation, and education. And it's something that we feel very strongly about. We had started previously a training program for all students, must take training on workplace sexual violence in order to combat issues related to that. We have had for several years now, as a part of the student's orientation, a program about unconscious bias that we do. The biggest challenge that we face, quite frankly, is the fact that somewhere between 2,500 to 3,000 students turn over every year at this institution through graduation and through the incoming class and through people who transfer out or through attrition. So we are always working with a new group of students, seemingly every year, that quite frankly have come from all sorts of different backgrounds, where they may or may not have much experience with diversity, or they may or may not have much experience with what's appropriate discourse on social media or in public. And so it's a constant challenge of educating students as to what our values are as an institution and also what's appropriate.
Chancellor Andrew Levitt of UW Oshkosh stays with us as we continue our look at an investigation into racist and anti-Semitic images posted on social media involving students. And you can join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. What should inclusion look like on our college campuses? What should campuses do about messages of bias and hate? And students, what do you need to do to feel safe? Call in. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. And this conversation continues in just a minute. Maybe hear from you on the Ideas Network. Several hundred students at UW Oshkosh attended a meeting Friday. It comes after racist images appeared on social media last week that may have involved students on campus. And we're talking about it here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. taking your thoughts on the situation at UW Oshkosh. What is the role of the university when it comes to inclusion and safety? We're at 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Andrew Levitt is chancellor of the UW Oshkosh, and he stays with us. Let's go straight to the phones now with Cassandra joining us from Oshkosh. Hi, Cassandra.
Hi there.
What do you think?
Well, I was a student at UW Oshkosh, although I graduated back in 2004. So obviously things have changed somewhat with our social and political climate since then. And I feel like this kind of stuff is sort of a symptom of the broader message that we're getting on a national scale, that people feel a little more empowered to be public with their hatred. And those are the messages people are getting. So we're seeing a lot more of this kind of thing coming out. And at the same time, I also wonder, you know, even if someone feels that way, and no matter how wrongheaded it may be, how can we really tell people how they can, you know, decorate their homes with hateful imagery, you know?
Cassandra, yeah. Thank you so much for the call. Chancellor Levitt, what do you hear there?
Well, I would say we have seen an uptick in terms of unconscious and conscious bias in recent years for whatever reason. This is a difficult subject on college campuses. I know that, for instance, President Trump had recently signed an executive order stating that free speech is to be protected on college campuses. And so we have this balance that we have at all universities, where we're trying to provide an environment where students can be free of the attacks of personal identity, which really do create a hostile environment for them. But at the same time, it protects free speech of all students. Unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on your position on the First Amendment, hate speech is protected speech. And it's so, for instance, as we investigate these incidences, we can only look for violations of policy and laws that involve other aspects of this case other than the actual content of the speech itself. So lots and lots of students want me to throw these individuals off campus, kick them out of school. We cannot do that because of the First Amendment. And we simply would just absolutely lose in court if, in fact, that were ever done. We're looking very carefully at the situation to see what other kinds of policies may have been broken.
Let's go to Dave now, joining us from Milwaukee. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning. I'm just so outraged. And I just want to say that as an educator, we in the Milwaukee public school system, we're working diligently to protect our students from this terror. And that's what it is. It's terror. And the Constitution and the Bill of Rights has been held up long enough as this protection, just like you said, Chancellor, free speech. And it's nonsense. If you are a straight white male and you make a comment that's in any way derisive of any group, that is terror, period. And if you're not, if you're any other group and you say something, that's fine. I mean, that's the way it should be. So we need to come down hard. We need to throw out the First Amendment and hopefully second next. And we need to just punish these straight white males no matter what they say or do. They have no – obviously in 50 years there won't be very many straight white males, so it won't be a big problem.
Dave, I want to jump in right there. Chancellor Levitt, we're aware that the Internet connects us all across the world, and – you know, you can share messages, you can share information, you can spread terror, as Dave mentioned. How do you think UW Oshkosh students are being affected by what they see online and on social media?
Well, I think they're being affected greatly. I think that's a more pervasive problem or issue. It's not just higher education. It's all walks of life, to be sure. To Dave's point, you know, there are lines that's possible to cross in free speech if it hinges on a harassment or a threat. And again, those are aspects of this that we're definitely evaluating to see if any of this was targeting a specific individual. certainly in the case that happened in March that you mentioned before about the Oshkosh Student Association elections, there were individuals that were associated with the groups that were mentioned because they were other candidates, and so that was as close as you would get to a personal targeting. So that was an issue certainly there. But yeah, this is a problem. You know, the social media on one idea, it democratizes knowledge, but at the same time, it also provides a platform for some pretty despicable behavior.
Let's go to Jay now, joining us from Milwaukee. Jay, hi.
Hi there.
What's
so,
up? Go ahead.
Yeah, I would say I share the last caller's outrage, absolutely, as I'm sure many listeners and callers do. And I think what a lot of folks might be wanting to hear is perhaps a little bit more of that outrage coming from the university. I mean, be it protected First Amendment or not, this is hate speech. I mean, plain and simple. And I think inherently that comes with harassment and a threatening tone. And I think it has absolutely no place on university campus. As a UW alum and instructor, I'm equally outraged. And I think we'd like to hear more of that from, quite frankly, from the chancellor and from the university.
Chancellor, are you considering longer-term strategies to help prevent this type of behavior? Are there changes that you can make today and in the future to help to be a more inclusive campus?
Kate, before I answer that, I do want to address what my initial comments were of this case in terms of expressing my outrage and indignation. In the message that I sent out to the campus community about 9 o'clock in the morning, so about an hour after the school day began, it opens with the line, "To anyone who brings hate into the University of Wisconsin Oshkosh community, I invite you to leave." And then later in that same message, it says, "I am angry and I am sorry for the pain these images cause. They are examples of hate and bias that defy everything we stand for as a university and inclusive community. We do not and will not tolerate it." So this is our position as a university. And so to suggest for a moment that somehow that we're tolerant of this type of behavior is quite frankly outrageous. We have to live within the bounds of following the law and following the policies of university. And first and foremost on my mind always is the personal safety of every single person on this campus. And so it's, to me, and I've gotten this before, that people think, well, geez, since you're not expelling these students, you must be condoning their behavior, and nothing could be further from the truth. So what are we doing? We have a number of initiatives in place, and we've had for some time. It really starts with increasing the diversity of the institution. I think that the more diverse we can be, the fewer problems in the end that we're going to end up having. And so we've been able to accomplish that in the following way. When I first came in as chancellor four to 5 years ago, our students of color were at 11% of the total population. This fall, they'll be at 17%. That's a pretty marked increase in the number of students of color on the campus. So now that when you walk across campus, you definitely notice diversity. Second, what we've put in a number of programs in place. We've started the Men of Color Initiative. We need to make sure that all students are more successful. Across the board, all of our student success measures, whether they be for white students or students of color, are on the rise, which we're making students more successful. Third, and this is really our Achilles heel, it comes with our faculty and staff of color. Right now, it's lagging pretty considerably behind students at about 6 to 7%. We have a program that we're putting in place to attract, retain, and hire more faculty of color, and this is being initiated, spearheaded by our provost, who's new to that position. It's important that we hire people of color up and down the organization, not simply at the entry-level positions, but also at senior management and at middle management, and we have done that. We are moving a needle. Can we do better? Absolutely. But there are a number of things that we are putting in place in order to make sure that we can build a more inclusive environment. We will never be able to protect every student from this type of hate speech simply because we cannot control human beings. But it's how we respond to it as a community that's going to matter.
In the hour since this has occurred, have you thought about how you have changed and your approach as a university to hate speech?
This is something that's happened before, that really hasn't happened at this level of intensity before. And so we know that there are lots of students out there who are hurting, and particularly students of color. And I think what we can do to be better is to learn from this event in terms of the avenues and how we can better support students, unfortunately, after one of these events might happen. So that's something that we're working on in terms of after action reports. Of course, really right in the middle of this right now. So we are working very hard to manage this for the next 2 weeks as students finish their classes and enter final exams.
Chancellor, we have to end it here. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
Chancellor Andrew Leavitt is Chancellor of the UW-Oshkosh, talking about the response to social media posts that show photos of racist and homophobic messages, hateful symbols that Oshkosh officials believe involve students. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network.